أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
واستعد الله سبحانه الملائكة وديئته لديهم وأحدى وصيته إليهم في الإذعان بالسجود له والخنوع لتكرمته. For those of you who have followed the story of this khutbah, this sermon, it began with the creation of It began with some description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then with the creation of the heavens and the earth, and then the creation of the angels, and then the creation of Adam. And now he is talking about the relationship between Adam and the angels. So, the heavens and the earth were created, the angels were created, the Adam was created. Now there is an interaction, a type of relationship that is going to be revealed for us here between the angels and Adam alayhi salam. So the sermon says, وَاسْتَعْدَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ. اسْتَعْدَ means that he asked for the ada, for fulfillments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked for the fulfillments of the wadi'a, the endowment, the pledge that he had with the angels with regards to Adam. وَاسْتَعْدَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَدِيْعَتَهُ لَدَيْهِمْ. He had something endowed with the angels, something that they had from before, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they had to discharge, a duty that they had to discharge. And now Allah asked for the discharging of that duty. وَأَحْدَى وَصِيَّتِهِ إِلَيْهِمْ, and also the fulfillment of that command. Here وَصِيَّ means command, that command that Allah had actually ordered the angels with. What was that command? فَلْإِذْعَانِ بِالسُّجُودِ لَهُ, that they have to admit with the sujood, they have to admit the sujood, the sajda for Adam alayhi salam. Now this is a very complicated thing actually, and there is great knowledge under these few sentences. First of all, when did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a pledge with the angels and had endowed them with the knowledge that there is something here they have to fulfill with regards to Adam? There is this discussion, even those people who have actually written commentaries on Nahj al-Balagha, they have questioned, what is this nithaq, what is this wasiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the angels, that now after the creation of Adam, he has asked them, okay, now it's the time. It's just like when, for example, something very big is going to happen for human beings, when a prophet is going to come and people are waiting for that prophet. Now the Prophet comes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now is the time you have to follow this Prophet. Of course, with regard to human beings, many people would somehow shun the responsibility, do not discharge the duty towards the Prophet. Now with regard to angels, of course the situation was different. Allah had asked them that when this happens, when this event comes and happens, then you have to discharge your duty by prostrating to Adam, making sajda. Now, some of the commentators have said that this nithaq which Allah had with the angels is what is mentioned in the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ طِينٍ, in Surah Sa'd, when Allah told the angels, I am going to create a bashar from mud. So, before he created Adam, he told the angels that I am going to do that. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When I create him, when I complete his creation, and when I breathe in him from my spirit, then you have to prostrate for him. And this, of course, took some time. From the time that Allah announced that this is going to happen to the angels. to the time that Adam was created of mud and was left there as a dead body, to the time that the spirit was blown, was breathed into that body, it took some time. And the angels were waiting for that moment, certainly. And now the moment had come, and the angels should have prostrated to Adam. Now, if we take this deeper, we can say, well, when in time, of course Allah was going to create Adam alayhi salam, but when in time Allah told the angels that this is your duty when I create you, what was the extent of the knowledge of the angels towards that creature? And it might have been long, long before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And this sujood, of course, it was quite symbolic that you have to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. But if we take it out of its symbolic form, we can say that everything in this world is actually created for the sake of Adam and his progeny, to serve him. And even the angels knew that they are there to serve Adam alayhi salam and his progeny, coming down to Muhammad, peace be upon him, and other, of course, descendants of Adam. They knew this. And this is, of course, the meaning of several verses that we have in the Quran, saying that وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْعَرْضِ. He has put whatever in the earth and in the heaven under your control. He has made them to humble before you. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Everything is from him, but everything is there to serve you. The angels who actually help in bringing us to this life, those angels who help to take us out of this life, out of this world, those angels who record whatever we do, those angels who are waiting for the day of judgment to come to somehow serve again in other ways human beings, those angels who are guards on Jahannam, those angels who are keepers of the treasures of Jannah, they all know that they are there to serve this Adam and his progeny. And of course this was something which was already taken, a pledge already taken from the angels, a knowledge they had inherent in their soul, so to speak, that this is something that is going to happen. And of course now was the time, and they had to deliver what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked them before. So here it says, after the creation of Adam was complete, وَاسْتَأْدَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَذِيَعَتَهُ لَدَيْهِمْ. He asked for the fulfillment of that wadi'ah and for discharging that wasiyah, وَأَحْدَ وَسِيَّتِهِ إِلَيْهِمْ فَالْإِذْعَانِ بِالسُّجُودِ لَهُ. That they had to admit that they are there to humble themselves before Adam. I mean, just that physical sujood, of course, did not happen for the angels because they don't have physical form. It is a sort of humbleness. It is a sort of deferring to the superiority of Adam and his progeny. And of course, when we say Adam and his progeny, potentially, not actually, because they had to actualize that potential which was in them. وَالْخُنُوعِ لِتَكْرَمَتِهِ وَالْخُشُوعِ لِتَكْرَمَتِهِ. Both have almost the same meaning, meaning that they had to humble themselves for the dignity of Adam alayhi salam. This would show how this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dignified in his eyes, and how it is impossible to think of a creature higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, higher than the human being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes when some people say that the prophets and the imams are some creation above human beings, you can ask them, because this is completely against the Quran if you say that the Prophet is something above human beings, because the Quran very clearly mentions, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am a human like you. Now you can ask them, what type of creature are they? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created anything above human beings, anything superior to human beings. You cannot say, for example, Jibra'il or Mikhail, they are superior to actualized human beings, not potential human beings. There is no superior creature which could be placed above Adam and his progeny. So, of course, we have to be proud that we are from this kind and this type. Of course, it's difficult to attain it, to actualize the potentials. So, for the dignity, as in the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, we have dignified Bani Adam. We have put everything at their service. فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, said that, asked them, commanded them, humble yourself for Adam, prostrate for Adam, and all of them did. Since they are angels, they are there to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except Iblis, which of course was with those angels. This, the creation of Iblis has been a point, an issue of controversy among the Exodus, whether he was an angel or he was not an angel. There are some verses like this, which somehow allude or tacitly imply that he was from the angels. Because when you say Allah commanded all the angels to prostrate before Adam and all prostrated but Iblis, it means that Iblis was from them. However, we have other explicit verses that Iblis was not from them, he was from jinn. But due to his self-purification, so to speak, due to his long worship, he had raised himself to the level of the angels. And we could say that yes, the jinn are a creature which are somehow capable to go up to those levels and come down to the level of the earth. As we have in Surah Jinn, they go up to the places where the angels receive revelation, and they hear sometimes before the appointment of our Prophet to his mission, they heard some of the revelation, the eardrops. How they did it? Because they are close, their creation is a bit close to the creation of the angels, and that's why they could do it. And probably by such worship, they could raise themselves to that point level of the angels and pray with them, worship with them. As it is the case that the jinn, probably some of them, wherever the good ones, wherever there is a circle of vex, they would like to come and listen, whether it's with the angels, whether it's with the human beings, and this shows their two-sided aspect of creation, that they could somehow group themselves with either of these two types of creation, human beings and the angels. And in Surah Jinn we have وَإِنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمَاءِ. We went to the skies, to the heavens, and were sitting in some places or waiting in some places where the angels are there and they receive revelations from superior angels about what is going to happen, about the future, and they listen. And they came and brought the news to those kahin, to those soothsayers, sorcerers, that they were somehow related to. And this was cut off after the Prophet, peace be on him. And as it's mentioned again in the Surah 10, فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنِ, whoever of us now go there and tries to listen, يَجَدْ لَهُ شَهَابًا رَشَدًا, we find a shahab, a type of fiery object would come to him and would hit him. And then they say, we don't know what has happened. Something has happened, this is cut off from us. وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. We don't know what has happened. We don't know this is good for people on the earth or it's bad. We don't know what has been decreed. So, Iblis, although he was from Jinn, but by worship he could somehow go at that station. And when the command came, it somehow encompassed all of them who were at that station, including Iblis. So we could say that he was from Jinn, and this would be easier in solving many theological issues. Because if we say he was from angels, then there are other theological problems that we have to answer, which are very difficult. So, فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ اُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ اِعْتَرَتْهُ الْحَمِيَّةُ. Hamiyah is arrogance which comes from descent, from the origin, from race. اَجْجَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْحَمِيَّةِ حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ is proudness and arrogance which comes through descent, nobility of the race, as they call it, from sharaf, of jahiliyyah, of course, as they had it. So he, shaitan, as well, he thought that, well, I am different from him. And this shows that racism comes from Iblis. Well, just to have fun with this, racism comes from Iblis, because people say, we are better than them, and we are created this way, they are created that way. So this proud of the descent, or the origin, the arrogance of the origin came to him. اَتَرَتْهُ الْحَمِيَّةِ. So the arrogance of his origin came to him. وَغَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّهْوَةِ. And of course this was a misery which overwhelmed him. Otherwise, if he was not miserable, if Allah had somehow barred between him and this misery that he had, this course of action that he had chosen for himself, then of course he would have not been so miserable. But of course Allah had given him choice, he chose it for himself, and so that misery overwhelmed him, overcame him. وَغَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّقْوَةِ وَتَعَذَّذَ بِخِلْقَةِ النَّارِ وَاسْتَوْحَنَ خَلْقَ الصَّلْصَالِ. He thought that he is very dignified, because he is created out of fire. تَعَزَّذَ بِخَلْقَةِ النَّارِ وَاسْتَوْحَنَ خَلْقَ الصَّلْصَالِ. And he humiliated. He thought that it is a humiliation to be created from salsal, that bit of clay or dried mud. And of course, not knowing that the merit is not the origin, from the origin of creation, it is the knowledge that Allah gives to someone. The merit lies somewhere else, not in the physical creation, so to speak. And this is of course a lesson for all of us, that whatever we have in terms of physical favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is our physical constitution, beauty, comfort, wealth, whatever which is related to our physical existence, is not something that we ever should boast about. What we have to boast about is what we have in terms of faith, knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things that should make us not proud, of course, never we have to become proud, but happy about what we have, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا. When Allah wants to give good to someone, when Allah intends good for someone. No, of course he doesn't give them wealth, he doesn't give them long life or these things. But فَقَّهَهُ فِي الدِّينِ, makes them to understand deeply the religion, which is the origin, the end, the knowledge about the origin, the end, the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And عَلَّمَهُ الْيَقِينِ, would teach him the yaqeen. These are the things which person can really be happy about, not the physical related issues. So he, because of this, because he thought that he is very dignified because he was created out of fire, and he somehow humiliated the creation of Adam because he was created out of mud, therefore that hamiyah came to him and the misery overcame him, and he disobeyed. فَأَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ النَّذْرَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him respite, gave him time. Now, was it good for him or it was bad for him? That Allah, if on the moment he disobeyed, Allah would have just finished him. Was it better for him? Or if Allah had, would have given him time to continue with his disobedience, which one was better for him? Of course, if he had finished him, at that moment, it was much better for him. Here, Amir al-Mu'minin says, فَأَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ النَّذَرَ إِسْتِحْقَاقًا لِلصُّحْبَةِ Because he deserved the anger of Allah. And giving him time was out of anger. So it was a punishment for him, not a blessing for him that Allah gave him time. Of course, that was out of his wisdom. He wanted to fulfill something that gave him that respite and long life. So, فَأَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ النَّذْرَ إِسْتِحْقَاقًا لِلصُّحْبَةِ وَإِسْتِتْمَامًا لِلْبَلِيَّةِ And to complete the test. Because the very command that you have to prostrate before Adam was a test. Now, this test should have been completed by Shaitan seeing the whole progeny of Adam, trying to deceive them. Having, of course, time to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, even if Shaitan tries to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the door of Tawbah is always open. Even for the Shaitan, the door of Tawbah is open. And however, he never repents. Due to the arrogance that has overcome him, he never repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a story, I have mentioned this on other occasions, but for those of you who haven't heard it, it is said that this is reported in the Gospel of Barnabas that once Isa alayhi salam asked Allah, "Is it not possible for you to forgive Shaitan and raise him to his original position and station that he had?" Allah said, "Yes, it is possible. Always possible. Anyone who wants to come back to me, even Shaitan, they can come back." And Isa alayhi salam said, "What are the conditions for Shaitan to repent? Because if he repents, first of all, he himself would be relieved of all those punishments that you are going to give him and is having at the moment, but he doesn't realize. And also the people who he deceives are going to get rid of him. So is it not possible to give him? So how? What are the conditions for that tawbah?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "There is no condition. Just he comes to me and said, 'I made a mistake. I want to come back.' Sincerely he says this, and I will accept from him." So Isa alayhi salam said, "Well, this is amazing, of course. If this is possible for Shaitan." So he became very happy and he said, "Could I see Shaitan? Could I see at least? Could you arrange for me to visit him? And Allah said, "Yes, go to such and such place and wait for him. I will make that arrangement that he would come and see you and you could see him." And there's a long story of this visit between Isa and Iblis. As soon as Iblis comes to Isa, he first of all tries to deceive him, to argue with him about many different aspects about God and other issues. Isa alayhi salam said, I'm not here to argue with you about these issues. I am here to give you a very good news." He said, "What is the good news?" He said, would you like to go back to your original position that you had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" He said, "Yes, very much. Oh, right." He said, "Well, I have made a compromise between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have made an intercession for you. And if you accept, then it's complete." He said, "What type of intercession you have made for me?" He said, "You just repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He would accept you and He would raise you to your original position as He did with Adam alayhi salam, your enemy of course. He did the same thing with Adam, who was your enemy, and He would do it with you as well." He said, "Okay, what is the condition for it?" He said, "No condition. Just say, 'Oh God, I made a mistake. Accept me. I want to come back.'" And then it's written there that he thought for a while. He said, after a while, with a type of smile, he said, "It's a good deal. But the conditions are not very good. Because probably the condition should be that God should tell them, I made a mistake, you come back, and I will go back. With that condition that he tells me, I made a mistake, you come back. I didn't make a mistake, God made a mistake. So, this is of course the nature of a lease. And to complete that test for him, so that the fulfillment of that potential of evil which is in him would unfold, would come and would unfold himself, and would make him deserving that anger of fire. This respite was given to him because of that. وَإِنْجَازًا لِلْأَذَىٰ And of course, to fulfill that promise that Allah had given to Adam alayhi salam and to his creatures, that of course the promise was that I will, it's not a type of promise, a type of somehow forecast which is made in form of a promise that لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ عَلِيمٌ I will fill the Jahannam from the ends and the jinn, who of course go towards evil. So this should have been fulfilled by the time given to Iblis. فَقَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ And then of course, he said, this is the verse from the Quran, you are from those who are given respite and time until the day known, until a day known. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ A day, the time of which is known, is determined already. Now, of course, Iblis asked, as we have in the Quran, Iblis asked for respite until the day of judgment. قَالَ رَبِّ فَأَنْذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ Give me respite until the day you resurrect. Now, first of all, this would tell us that Iblis was completely aware of the whole process of human life. That they are going to come to this earth, they are going to live, they are going to have progeny, children, and then they are going to die, and they are going to resurrect. And certainly, if Iblis was aware of the, all these, the angels were aware of all these. So their type of knowledge was different from our type of knowledge. And what Iblis asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that give me respite until the day of judgment, the day you resurrected, so that I am there until the last child, last descendant of Adam would live on the earth so that I can defeat because of that enmity. Now Allah, in the answer, he doesn't say you are given respite until that time. He said, إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ Until a known time, an appointed time. Of course, some of the theologians have somehow gone into pains, went into pains to describe if Shaitan knows that he is given time until the day of judgment, he knows that exactly until what time he has time to repent. And this would be not correct to tell a creature like Shaitan that until what time you are going to alive, so that he repents in the last moment. That's why Allah has made it vague for him, that I don't tell you until when, but I will give you this fight until a known time. Well, this is somehow not very, very interesting description of the situation, because we know that creatures who consume their life in sin, it's almost impossible for them to repent at later stages. So what is here as a reality is that of course Shaitan is not given time until the day of judgment. He's not there to deceive human beings until the last descendant of Adam. The kingdom of Shaitan or the sovereignty of Shaitan would end at one point. And this is what we have in many of our own ahadith, Shia ahadith, that the Shaitan's sovereignty would end when the Imam al-Asr comes. That's the end of, that is Yawm al-Waqt al-Ma'lum. And then of course, the type of life would be different. Because that is a type of prelude to the Day of Judgment. things would be completely different from what they were before. The life of human beings on the earth would be different. And all those very strange things which are mentioned about raj'ah and other issues are telling us that this, when Imam al-As alayhi salam comes, when the first Imam comes back and Isa alayhi salam comes along with him, the world would change dramatically. And the human life would change dramatically. And why this is the case, then why human beings would live if shaitan is not there? What's the point? I'll be here for test. The answer is that maybe that period is not for test anymore. That is just to show a sample of how human beings should have lived on the earth if they were not deceived by shaitan. How they could have lived on the earth. And then on the day of judgment they will be shown that you could have lived this way, but you obeyed the shaitan. And then, of course, you destroyed the whole plan of the course of your life by obeying shaitan. While shaitan is not there. Well, it's interesting to see that how life would have been if shaitan was not there. Not that his presence is not necessary. His presence is necessary. But just to show that how it would have been if human beings would not have obeyed shaitan. Would not have followed him. And that's a good sample to be shown to us on the day of judgment, inshallah. And inshallah, maybe at the end of our life, we might see this if Imam al-As comes, inshallah, soon. So, فَقَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ ثُمَّ أَسْكَنَ سُبْحَانَهُ آدَمَ دَارًا أَرْغَدَ فِيهَا عَيْشَهُ. Now, Adam was completely unaware of all these events. Then Allah, of course, placed Adam in a house in which he had plentifully provided for him whatever he needed. Lavishly he had provided for Adam in that house, and that is the Jannah, and there are lots of issues that we have to discuss here, inshallah, for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala.
One or two points come to my mind regarding the discussion of empowerment. First of all, it seems that all of the angels have the choice of disobeying Allah except Iblis disobeying. And secondly, it seems that now all the angels except the progeny of Iblis obey Allah.
Progeny of Iblis?
Yeah, all the angels obey Allah except the progeny of Iblis.
No, what we discussed here that Iblis is not from angels. He is from jinn. And that's why he has progeny. And his progeny are actually not obeying.
So does it mean that all the angels?
Yeah.
All the angels, they don't have a choice of disobeying. All the angels now obey all the commands of Allah.
Yes, the question is that if the angels have choice to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, and why only Iblis and his progeny disobeyed. Well, the angels, they have free will because they are superior creatures, and those superior creatures without free will would have been really meaningless. However, they don't have desires as we have. And they don't have potential. They are actualized at the moment they are created. And they are nourished by the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they grow or not, this is very difficult to say. Whether they grow in knowledge, they only receive revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do things. And they are nourished by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, philosophers, certainly they say that the angels have no potential. They are completely actualized, materialized creatures, which have no room for growth. Now, jinn and human beings are different. And that's why they have desires, because these desires are actually a means for growth. And for actualizing the potentials. And therefore, although they have free will, they don't have desires to somehow deviate from the course of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just like, for example, us, although we have free will to kill ourselves, but we don't have any desire to do it. And usually human beings don't do it. I mean, just exclude a few type of ill-minded people. But usually human beings do not kill themselves, although they are free to do so, because they don't have desires for it. And many other things that we usually do not do, because we don't have desires for it. So, there are some narrations which mention that some angels disobeyed God, like Putros, the very famous one. However, I don't think they are quite conforming with the verses of the Quran. It says, بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ لَا يَحْضُقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. They are dignified creatures. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we have to be very cautious about those reliance.
Is there a question,
please? Yes. Anything? The question is, if I understood it correctly, that at the time of Imam al-Asr, we have in many of our rawahs that shaitan will lose his control, or will be killed, or whatever, in whatever way we put it. And therefore, what happens to human beings who are living at that time or come afterwards? And what about them? Can they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, if they don't commit sin, they don't need to repent, certainly. And if shaitan is not there, there will be much less sin. Sin would not go away, because it's not only shaitan who somehow encourages us to do sin. Our soul sometimes, our own self, is a shaitan sometimes. But the chances of committing sin would become much, much less. And the people, righteous people, would become plenty in number. There will be evil again. Still there will be evil. And if people want to repent from those evils, it is possible for them. However, it's much less than what we have now.
On that point, when we say, we're making it too much of a big deal with shaitan, and we're putting too much of the blame on him. From what I understand, shaitan doesn't really bother himself with people like us, even the bigger fish. We can manage quite well without him knowing our own sins. So are we really putting too much blame on him, and really,
The question is, why are we putting so much blame on shaitan, since we ourselves are very susceptible to sin and to disobedience, and shaitan wouldn't bother about us. He would bother about more prominent people, probably, big fishes. Yeah, who knows, maybe you are this fish, we don't know. For shaitan. Certainly he is there to deceive, and yes, at some stage, when you are usually at a very low level of faith, he doesn't bother very much. But immediately when you want to start moving towards God, he would come in front of you, and he wouldn't want to let you do that. And we have in many of ahadith something which symbolizes this somehow. For example, they say when a human being prostrates before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wrong prostrations, shaitan would cry out of anger that he cannot stop him from making that long prostration. And would say, oh, what happened? He has prostrated and I have disobeyed. And he feels jealous about it. So, yes, as soon as we try to go towards God, and we try to strengthen our faith, He comes in. Otherwise, we are left to our desires and to our whimsy clumsy wishes that we have about our own pleasures. Problem. Yes.
Two questions. You said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already gave them knowledge to co-creation of Adam alayhi salam. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them that I'm going to create Russia, they said, are you going to create someone who's going to create Sidna? Did they already have the knowledge that Russia or Insan is going to create Sidna this earth? And secondly, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was created before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. So why wasn't the order given to the angels to cross it before the Holy Prophet, before Adam alayhi salam?
There are two questions here. One is, the second one is that the Holy Prophet was created before Adam, as we have in some hadith. Why the angels were not told to prostrate before him rather than before Adam? Now, those riwayat, ahadith, which talks about creation of Adam before the creation of the heavens and the earth, is not about the actualized creation of Prophet Muhammad. It's about the light type of creation in Ummul Kitab, probably. Something for which other things come. It's just like when, for example, you decide to go to holiday, to have some, or to decide to go to a conference, to deliver a lecture. Okay. Now, for that, what you do, you prepare, you buy your tickets, you fly, you go there, you meet people, and then at the peak, at the end of the whole process, you give your lecture, okay? But what came in your mind first to do all these things? It was that lecture, isn't it? It was the main factor that started all these processes. And when we say Muhammad, peace be on him, was created before the creation, it was something like that. It was that light of Muhammad for which this process began. And then in actualization, of course, the process starts from the other way. So we shouldn't really take it as creation of Muhammad peace be on him before creation of Adam alayhi salam. Now the second question, I think we are out of time anyhow, but very quickly, if the angels knew that Adam is going to do mischief due to a knowledge given to them before, yes, they knew that, but they had partial knowledge. They didn't have full knowledge. And this is what the angels have at the moment as well. They don't have full knowledge of everything. They have partial knowledge. They had that knowledge about resurrection and all these things. But they didn't have full knowledge that Adam is going to be given the knowledge of Asma. And that's why Allah says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. I know what you do not know. Okay?